It's great to see each of you and for us to have an opportunity of worshiping God in our presence, turning our minds to life and death, realizing our journey here is ever so brief. How appropriate for us to have a theme of the future life with God. I did not know a man by the name of Donnie Barnes very well. He has passed from this life, but he left a magnificent impact upon the brotherhood. He was known for his Bible charts. He had put them out for many years. You have seen many of them in our bulletin. And you see another one today. They are available online, many different places, in fact. And after seeing what Richard had selected as our theme for today, a beautiful theme, I went and looked to see what Brother Donnie had put together. And I was caught immediately by Heaven is Special. And that's what you see on the bulletin. He mentions various reasons. I hope you've already read it, but it's worthy of just a few seconds of our time. Heaven is special because heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where our new bodies are. Heaven is where we'll have perfect understanding. Heaven is where our reward is. Heaven is our records are where they are. Heaven is where our saved ones will be. Heaven is a place of perfect rest. And then the question is asked, are you prepared for heaven? I can kind of grin and say, I could probably extend the invitation right now and the lesson would be sufficient. Those five or six or seven different points are made. Powerful points, passages of Scripture that are emphasizing these things that are extremely important. There are 327 times heaven is mentioned in the Old Testament. There are 255 times the word is mentioned in the New Testament. I find it extremely interesting that the word heaven is found 56 times in a mere 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. Of all of the various times that it's found, John chapter 14 is maybe our most familiar and probably one of the most encouraging. In John 14, John, apostle of love, writing to his disciples who are undergoing terrifically troublesome times. He's telling them words of Christ, John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to the words of Christ. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So many promises are made, statements that are made in the Holy Scriptures that apply to us. That one does too. But I dare say that very few are as potent and present the glorious thought of our future home that awaits us, that are children of God, faithful in His sight, giving everything, like we sang, I surrender all, knowing that heaven will surely be worth it all. Simon Peter would add these words also in 1 Peter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God the Father, merciful, abundantly merciful, and has made a way of salvation by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, His only begotten Son, that makes it possible for us on earth who journey here for a brief time to know that heaven awaits us there through the faith in God the Father. The Apostle Paul frequently wrote of that place. In 1 Corinthians 15, he would say there is a natural body, but there's a spiritual body. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from the natural to the spiritual. And how that the corruptible, it'll be put off, and now will be incorruptible. But he spoke further then of the victory that we have in Christ as His children, and therefore we're to live faithful, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, because that's not in vain. To the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians 4, there was some confusion that reigned then. There were those that didn't believe in the resurrection after death. And Paul told them, he said, I don't want you to be unlearned about this. I want you to know that there's coming that time when we will all be raised, the dead. You see, the Thessalonians thought their family members who had already died would miss out. He said, the dead will rise first, to rise to meet the Lord in the air, just as we have sung this morning. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5, the second letter, Paul would say this in verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Journeying here on earth, not able to fully see what heaven will be like, but with the knowledge that we have, we long for it. We anticipate it. We know that it's going to be there. And we're even longing to be clothed, as it were, with that habitation. I know, and we all know, this is not our final home. We understand that this is but a vapor life. As a vapor, as James says in James 4. A blink of an eye, a snap of a finger, is a good representation of how long we may live here, whether it be a few years or many years. But heaven is eternal. And thus we look to that place, because here is just a brief time. I love the way it's been referred to. Three different thoughts came to my mind. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We're not going to just accidentally one day wake up and we're in heaven. We've got to do the will of the Father, Matthew 7:21. We've got to lay up treasures in heaven where Man can't ruin it, Matthew chapter 6. We've got to set our affections on things above, Colossians 3. We've got to go on toward perfection, Hebrews chapter 6. Our life, our very being, even as we're walking day to day here, is on heaven. A prepared place, Jesus said it, John 14, for a prepared people. But another way of looking at it, heaven is being prepared for you while you're preparing for it. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. We would then extend that thought and say, while we are preparing for what he's preparing for us. A beautiful plan, is it not? God created us, a natural body, yes, but a spiritual body that will live forever, a soul that will never die. But he prepares that place where our soul can be if we live for him. Third way of saying it, and I like this one the best. Goodbyes are the law of earth. I know of times that in Scripture, there were those that were saying goodbye to each other. Paul would write to the church at Ephesus, and he would tell them about having met the elders at Ephesus, who had come to Miletus to see Paul and to talk to Paul, and Paul told them and warned them and exhorted them and pled with them. And the Bible actually says that when they were about to depart from each other, say goodbye to each other, Paul, knowing that he probably would not see them again, they wept, they cried together. I'm convinced, without a doubt, the bond that they felt, the love that they had one for another, children of God in the kingdom of God, knowing of the promises that God had made, but they loved each other here on earth. They were co-workers together. They had been through a lot together already, and they knew this would probably be the last time they would see each other here on this side of eternity, and they cried as they said goodbye. Goodbyes are the law of the earth. But the rest of that sentence is, reunions are the law of heaven. Concerning Abraham, it says that he would be gathered to his people when he died. That phrase is found many times in Scripture. To those same Thessalonian brethren, in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul spoke about seeing them again. May not see them again here on earth, but he knew that they would be together there. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth and spoke about being changed, they were going to leave that natural body. They're going to enter a spiritual body, have that body that will never die. Goodbyes are the law of earth. Reunions are the law of heaven. I find that so encouraging. We can put aside the tears. We can put aside the sorrows of life, the trials and tribulations. We can put aside the goodbyes that we said to those that have gone before and have confidence, assurance, a promise from God that if we continue faithful here and die in Christ, as they live for him here and died in Christ, that we'll be reunited together again and for eternity. So what about that future home? The way Richard worded it, our future life with God. What are we told in Scripture? I love Revelation 21. Let me hold that just for a minute. Before getting there, let's just talk about it. We've already quoted John 14, I go to prepare a place. Heaven is not just a figment of someone's imagination. It's just a thought that we dream about or we are pleasantly pleased to even dwell on. Jesus said it's a place. In John chapter 6, John, one of the four accounts of the gospel record, he said, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven that gives life to the world." It's a place. It's where Jesus comes down, as it were, John says, from heaven and gives life to the world. Heaven is not just a state of mind. It's not just a condition. That's the way some religions teach it. But it is an actual place, just as we're here in this actual place, this very minute, an actual in present form. But there's another word that we might add to that. Heaven is a place where God dwells. It's where God is. For an example, we can read in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament in chapter 26, Moses says, "Look down, God, look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place." And to God, Moses was saying, "And bless your people, Israel, and the land that you've given us as you promised an oath to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey." In other words, he elaborated concerning what he was saying and asking God to look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place. It's a place. If we were to go over to 1 Kings chapter 8, we would hear again another inspired writer say, "Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place." They were praying to God at this place. "Hear," he goes on to say, "hear from heaven your dwelling place." So more than just a time or two, we learn that not only is it a place, but it's God's dwelling place. But Paul would confirm that even further. And I read earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul says, "Now we know that if our earthly tent we live in is destroyed, this body, this physical body, it's going to be destroyed. But we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands." He gives a little bit more of a broader perspective. Not only is it God's dwelling place, but it's our house, our eternal house in heaven, one that's not built with hands, wood, brick, mortar, stone, eternal in the heaven. But if I really want to look at a particular two or three verses that talks about our future life with God, I go to 1 Peter, in chapter 1, three verses. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 3, beginning, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us," again, "to a living hope, not just somebody that somebody's created an idea, but a hope." Hope is defined desire plus expectation. It's a place that we desire, but we have every reason to expect it because of the promises of God. "To this living hope through," is because of, in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The living hope to what? I want to mention four things that Simon Peter mentions. To this living hope, to an inheritance incorruptible. When I think of inheritance incorruptible, I've seen things that have been spoiled, ruined, decay, rot, pitiful. Maybe it's a piece of wood that's been taken over by termites, a magnificent structure crumbling. Maybe it's something that is tangible by fire, and fire consumed it, destroyed. It's corruptible. What Simon Peter speaks about, that we have been given this lively hope through the blessings of the Son of God, cannot be corrupted. It's permanent. It will never decay. He goes on to say the second one, undefiled. Man cannot mess with it, cannot contaminate it. They say that gold is like 99.9% pure, still got that little bitty sliver. That's not pure. Our home is not defilable. Number three, and does not fade away, Simon Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's incorruptible, undefiled, cannot fade away. Just think of that. We stand, as I taught in class, I stand over looking in Greece, in that country, down over the Grecian islands, see with my eyes something that is the most beautiful thing I guess I had ever seen to that point in my life. Or I stand on Smoky Mountains at Cade Cove, look over the valleys, all of those things, but my eyes may fade. Clouds may come. Storms may arise. And that beauty that for a moment I was looking at now is gone momentarily. Not in heaven. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can fade its beauty. It is that which we just got through singing concerning jasper and gold and all of these images that we have from the book of Revelation concerning that which composes it. But then Simon Peter says, not only corruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, but he said, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. If you want to take a trip, fly to Hawaii, wherever it may be, vacation, whatever, you usually make a reservation. First of all, maybe with a plane carrier, and then reservations where you're going to stay there. You count on them to be there. You know, that when you go to that airline, they've got one that has your name on it. Reserve that seat, or you'll get on and fly to your destination. Whenever you reach your destination in the States or across the land, ocean, or wherever it may be, when you get there, you're counting on a place where you can rest, relax, be reserved for you. Your name's on it. I dare say that most of us have had experiences where we thought we had a reservation and ended up not. Not a pleasant occasion. God doesn't make mistakes. He has said this, that God, according to his abundant mercy, and he's given us that lively hope. It's based upon the resurrection of the Son of God. He's giving us that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, and it's got your name on it, a place for you. That has to be the most heartwarming, comforting, strengthening, edifying thought that's maybe found in all Scripture. That God loves His children, of which we are children. And if we will merely serve Him faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, enduring to the end, Matthew 10:22, He says, I will give you eternal life, a future life with God. And I add another verse. Go again to Peter, same book, 1 Peter 2, or chapter 3 this time, and verse 22. Simon Peter says, Jesus Christ, referring to Him from the preceding verse, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, with authorities and powers in submission to Him. And we get to go there. We get to be there. In Revelation, I read this just a few days ago. This writer said, when 65 of the 66 books of the Bible have been completed, and when the final book of the Revelation had been written almost in its entirety, with only two of the Bible's 1,189 chapters yet to be penned, and with only 48 of the Bible's 31,102 verses already penned, God gives man His picture of heaven. Just look at it. That's why I put this back down a moment ago. All of this has already been written. But with so little left, God, by John the Revelator, in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, He says this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In the next chapter, chapter 22, the last one, and only a half a dozen verses before the Bible is concluded in the way form we have it, in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Our future home with God. What God has told us, it can be ours. Our eternal abode for our eternal soul. He so adequately described it. He so beautifully pictured it in our mind's eye, the best that we can grasp of what it will be like, of those who will be there, the inhabitants of all the righteous of all ages, will be able to recognize one another. There will be identity. Paul said, I'll know you, Thessalonian brethren. David lost that child, and he said, I can't bring him back to me, but I can go to him. He'll be still that person. What comfort to know that as we journey here, what God has prepared for us there, still yet future, not yet reality for us. Maybe many of our family members already seeing with their eyes the glory that is indescribable here. And we can go to them. But dear people, it all hinges upon what I do and what you do with the rest of your life. I may be in Christ at this moment, but I could fall away. I could sin, transgress, and the Lord take my name out of the Lamb's book of life. I must press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, Philippians chapter 3. I've got to make sure that I keep my eye not focused on the things to the right or left, but on the heavenly mansion. And guarantee, Simon Peter would say it this way, that we can make our calling and election sure by doing His will, by living for Him. Our future life with Almighty God, whose love is unlimited, whose mercy is far more than we can ever even grasp, able to wash away and cleanse my sins. Paul himself referred to him as the chief of sinners, the wretched man that he was. And we can look at our life and recognize, yes, I've stumbled, I've fallen, I've messed up so many ways, just like Paul. But the blood of Christ cleanses us. To where, upon our departure from this life, angels will carry us into the very presence of God the Father, to be eternally with Him. If your life is not as it should be, make sure you avail yourself of that offer. He extends it. He says, I'll give you life eternal, but you've got to come to Him in full and simple obedience. Richard's going to come and lead us in this song. If you're here today, away from God, not in Christ, not forgiven of your sins, won't you come and do His will that you may have your future life with God? As we stand and sing, won't you come?